Father, we just thank you for your goodness. As Caleb mentioned, your greatness. We thank you that you're great in every way, that you make a great friend, that you make a great comforter, that you make a great counselor, that you make a great companion. We thank you that you don't want to be alone. You have created Father, you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you enjoy that relationship, and yet you also created us. You enjoy relationship with us. I pray this morning, Father, that you would show us in a deeper way what it means to have relationship with you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, I've titled the message this morning, Children's Church. Children's Church. No, the message this morning is titled, Living with Jesus Today. Living with Jesus Today. So as the children go back, there's an author, Juan Carlos Ortiz, a Hispanic author who wrote a book called Living with Jesus Today. And I stole his title because I think that it really encapsulates what I'd like to talk about this morning. You know, when we use the name Jesus, we think of someone immediately in our minds who 2,000 years ago ran around the planet and did amazing things. We use the term Jesus about the person who was crucified, the person who rose again. The name Jesus evokes historical sentiments. It evokes historical images of what it was like for Jesus to walk around the planet. But what does it mean to live with Jesus today? What does it mean for you to have Jesus inside of you today? Jesus Christ inside of you today. You know, it wasn't too long ago I was teaching a class. And in the class, I asked them to tell about their experiences in listening to the Holy Spirit. And as we went around the room, we talked about what it meant to you to listen to the Holy Spirit. We had some very interesting comments. We had comments related to incredible ways that God had worked, including raising someone out of a hospital bed who might have otherwise died. We have spectacular stories about thoughts coming to people when otherwise they wouldn't know where something was or how to do something or who needed help, or just amazing ways in which God may be intervening in our regular everyday life. But at the end, I posed the question to the group. I said, you know, this is fantastic that God has done this and this and this. But what about when nothing amazing is happening? I mean, what about when you haven't lost something, or there's no emergency, or you're not sick in a hospital bed? What about just normal everyday life? What does it mean to you to listen to the Holy Spirit? And it's really interesting to me that we can, for years, have a focus on Christ in us, Christ living in us, Christ living through us. And we can use this lingo. We can use this language about Christ living in us. But when you switch it to the Holy Spirit, oh, well, I mean, when's the last time I heard from the Holy Spirit? Let me see, 1978, I got a message, right? We're not thinking of the Holy Spirit as being Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. There's a time in the scriptures that Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ. They're one and the same. So you live with Jesus today. You live with the same historical Jesus who trotted around the planet doing amazing things. You live with him inside of you today. I would encourage you to, for a week, a month, a year, talk about Jesus in you rather than Christ in you. What would that do for you to realize, wait a minute, they're one and the same? Jesus Christ in me, the Holy Spirit in me, the Spirit of Christ in me, all the same person. And yet, for some reason, when we change the lingo or the language, then we only expect to hear from God when it's spectacular looking, when it's amazing looking, when it's miracle looking. And so I want to talk about what it means to live with Jesus today, this morning. talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. First of all, in Galatians 4:6, we see this. God, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Who is the Spirit? What does it say here? The Spirit of his Son. So it's the Spirit of Christ. It's the same Son of God that ran around the planet, is the same Son of God that is inside of you today. Now, I want you to think just a minute about this, because I think that we don't hear literally what this means. What I'm saying is that literally, Jesus Christ lives inside of you as real as you are. Jesus is real in you. I ask you this. If someone were to cut you open, if you were to die and you're on the operating table there and someone were to cut you open, they were to cut your brain open, they were to analyze you, examine you, would they find your love for your wife, for your husband, for your kids? Your love for your wife is invisible. Is it real? Would they find your love for your husband? Would they find your ambition in the workplace? Would they find your drive inside of you if they were to cut you open? Wouldn't find any evidence of it. Is it real? Is what you're experiencing, your drive to succeed in the workplace, your love for your kids, is that real stuff or is it fake? Because we can't find any evidence of it. Scientists can't find it. Is it real? Well, you say, you bet it is. It's real, but it's invisible. What about your dreams, your aspirations? What about the things you hope to do and why you hope to do them and all of your thought life? If we were to cut you open, we wouldn't find your thoughts. But yet, it's where you live and dwell every single day, every minute of every day. Is it fake? You say, no, it's real, but it's invisible. And now we come to the Holy Spirit. Does he literally live in you? Is he real? He's real, but he's invisible. He's just as real as your ambitions. He's just as real as your dreams. He's just as real as your love for your husband or your wife or your kids. All of those things are invisible, and yet you know they're actual. And so is the presence of Christ inside of us. We've got to see that this is as real as you are. If we were to cut you open, would we find you? We wouldn't find the essence of you. We wouldn't find your dreams. We wouldn't find your ambitions. We wouldn't find your spirit. We wouldn't find your spirit, your human spirit. Your human spirit is invisible. And your human spirit is one spirit with the Holy Spirit. If we can't find you when we cut you open, and yet you demand that you are real, then cannot the Holy Spirit be real inside of you, although we cannot find him? The Holy Spirit is as real inside of you as you are. God tells us that anyone who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That means you've got a spirit, God's got a spirit, they're both invisible, and you're one spirit with each other. That's how real the presence of the Holy Spirit is inside of you. It's the Spirit of Jesus, the same Jesus that walked this planet, literally, actually, realistically lives inside of you every single day, every moment of the day, no matter what kind of behavior is going on. He's there. He's in your mind. He's in your heart. He's in your spirit. He's invisible, but he's real. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Patience with people, not flying off the handle. Good, as Caleb brought up, greatness, a great friend, a great counselor. He's gentle. Self-control is one of his personality traits. What are your personality traits? What are you like? Well, I like golf, and I like snowboarding, and I like wakeboarding, and I love to go to movies, and I love movies about spies, and I love movies about jail heist, bank heists. I love criminals. Is that okay? I love the master plan. I love the master plan that comes through, right? So that's part of my personality. Now, where are you going to find that inside of me? Is there some RAM tucked away somewhere that you could pull the RAM out and put it in another computer and then, well, then they would be like me? No, all of that personality trait is invisible, but you bet it's me. And in the same way, all of these characteristics, where are these characteristics? Well, you say, well, these are the personality traits of Jesus. They're the personality traits of the Spirit of Christ. Well, where are these personality traits? They're inside of you. These personality traits are living inside of you in a person, the Holy Spirit. So are your interests and your hobbies, are they tangible and real to you? Absolutely. Are they invisible? Absolutely. Are the characteristics and the traits of the Holy Spirit real to you? Do you know that they're there, living inside of you? Well, they are, even though they're invisible. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Helper, teacher, that's what we see the Holy Spirit doing. See, I want every person in here to be able to focus on, if I have an invisible person inside of me right now, what is he like? That's what we're doing. If I have an invisible person, literally 24 hours a day, living inside of me, what is he like? And here we see he's interested in helping, he's interested in teaching, he's right there in your mind. You know, I asked a question recently in a class that I taught. I said, let's imagine two people. Now, these two people are very different because one person got saved when they were 90 years old. And before that, they lived the previous 89 years pretty much like Hitler, pretty bad stuff, okay? And then the other person, they came to Christ when they were 6 years old. Mom and dad shared with them about how they could have Jesus in their heart, and they came to Christ at 6 years old. And you say, well, now, do you believe that both of those people can go to heaven? Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the age-old question that we have been debating in the Bible Belt forever, and it makes great conversation over the dinner table. You mean a guy that lives like Hitler his whole life and accepts Jesus on his deathbed could still go to heaven? Yeah, that's what I mean. I never thought about that. All right, but let's switch it. Let's take heaven out of the picture, and let's just talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit. What you just finished telling me is that heaven is free, and it doesn't matter whether you've invested 90 years in heaven or 1 year in heaven, life. Heaven is free. But now let's switch it. Let's talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let's talk about constant, uninterrupted presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Now, you've got two believers. One believer, his biggest problem is he's just not loving people like he wished he could. And then another guy over here, constant, serious, daily struggle with pornography. You say, well, which one can have the presence of the Holy Spirit more in them? Oh, well, this guy over here. Why? Well, because he's got fewer outrageous-looking problems. No. The presence of the Holy Spirit is free. You can be struggling with a pornographic thought, and 2 minutes later, you can be having absolute communion with the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is free, heaven is free, forgiveness is free, grace is free, and it has nothing to do with your list of sins or how heinous you think they are. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is free. There's nothing you can do to earn him. There's nothing you can do to keep him. There's nothing you can do to maintain him. He has set it up, he's rigged it, so that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, that's not the historical Jesus never leaving you nor forsaking you. That is the spirit of Jesus Christ presently inside of you, never leaving you nor forsaking you. The historical Jesus did leave you. He floated up to heaven. He left us. And he says, I'll send a helper. And the one that will never leave you nor forsake you is the helper, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray how we should. He intercedes for us according to the will of God. Well, you know what I would put in there? We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to act. We don't know how to respond. We don't know how to do anything. And he intercedes for us. That's why he's there. We have no clue how to live like human beings are supposed to live. And that's why we have to have the Holy Spirit for free inside of us all the time. What about when we sin? Because what about, I just got on the internet and I looked at some bad stuff. Or I just thought a really bad thought about that lady over there. I just wish I could give her a piece of my mind. What about when you just finished sinning? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you, invisibly inside of you, just as real as you are? Yeah. While you're sinning, is he living inside of you? Yeah. Does he not depart you when you sin? No. No. How would you ever get out of your mess? How would you ever learn to think differently if he left you? How would you ever get out of the mess that you're in if he picked up and walked away from you every time you blew it? So what are we saying here? We're saying the same thing that we've been saying for months and years in this church, I believe. That is, your sins are forgiven. There's no barrier between you and God. Christ lives in you. But see what we've done? We've switched some words. The Holy Spirit still lives in you, still is with you while you're sinning. Why? Because he remembers your sins no more. You see that? I mean, if we could just see this from another angle, we might grasp it better. I think there's been a roadblock to understanding the constant, uninterrupted presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, are we expressing him all the time? Does your life look like this all the time? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to create some fiction where we're always gentle towards people. But I'm saying that the person of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, does not leave you even while you're sinning, because he remembers your sins no more. He's taken away the sin issue altogether. The helper, the teacher, he intercedes for us according to the will of God, because we don't know what we're doing. I've written you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. Who is this written to? Who wrote it? Well, we know that. John. Who is it written to? Hundreds and hundreds of people. I thought anointing was a special anointing. This you is plural here. You've received an anointing. As for you, the anointing which you've received. That means everyone's been anointed. We use this word anointing as if it's some kind of charismatic, special word for certain people who have, he really has an anointing. No, every believer has an anointing, and the anointing is the person of Christ living inside of you 24/7. You have no need for anyone to teach you. Why? The Holy Spirit's your teacher. I mean, there is an invisible teacher, counselor in you all day long. And yet, we're playing this game with God way up in heaven, and he's in that swivel chair, and every time we blow it, he turns his back, and every time we're doing okay and having our Bible study and showing up at church, well, then he swivels towards us. You're having a game in your mind with God in heaven, and he's trying to say, I'm in you. I'm not even in heaven alone. I'm in you. You're missing. I'm right under your nose. I'm as invisible as you are. Quit thinking of me as up there and playing a game with you like a puppet. Now I'm with you, now I'm not. Now I'll hear your prayers, now I won't. You're missing the presence of Christ in you. Right here on planet Earth. Christ came to earth so that he could go away and send a helper to earth and live inside of you right here on the planet. Not for us to play some kind of head game with God and try to figure out when he's toward us and when he's away from us. We're playing a game with God the Father, and he's screaming, "My spirit lives in you," all the time, without fail. Revealer of truth. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So the Holy Spirit, you know, I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be mature. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these four workbooks, and I'm going to go to this conference, and that, and God can use that stuff. But ultimately, it is saying, I've got to start with one building block, one foundation, and that is the greatest teacher that ever lived lives inside of me. The greatest teacher, the greatest revealer of truth that I have ever seen or heard or found out about in my entire life, he lives inside of me. And that is building block one, foundation one. I've got to know that whatever power he or she has, whatever teacher or bearer of knowledge that he or she has over there, I have that same person inside of me. It is entirely possible for truth to be revealed to me because I have the person, the revealer of truth, inside of me. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things, look at that now, freely given to us. What are we saying about the presence of the Holy Spirit? Freely given to us. That means, do you know what that means? I've been tempted to do this over the last 10 years. I've thought of this example. I've been tempted to do it. I've never had the guts to do it. But what I would love to do is sit up here with a glass of white wine and a cigarette while I give a sermon. And just sip on the wine and not get drunk, but just sip on the wine and then make a bad health choice and just give a fiery, incredible sermon on the Word of God. To demonstrate something. What would I be demonstrating? Well, I'd be making a fool of myself using my freedom in Christ. But I would be making a point, wouldn't I? That the presence of God living inside of me is not interrupted by a drink or a substance. He doesn't go away from me because I made a bad health choice or because of a liquid. But you see what we've turned this thing into? I'm once saved, always saved, but the presence of the Holy Spirit comes and goes. Well, what is it that saves you, the presence of the Holy Spirit? I'm once saved, always saved, believed in that all my life. But see, the presence of the Holy Spirit comes and goes. Based on what? Based on my behavior. Well, didn't you say you're once saved, always saved? Oh, yeah. Total inconsistency. We're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed until Jesus returns by the Holy Spirit. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. You've got to be, in order to be a child of God, you've got to have the Spirit. If you've got the Spirit, you're a child of God. If you are a child of God, you've got the Spirit. It's one and the same. If you're saved, you have all of the Holy Spirit freely given to you all day long without interruption, even while you're involved in something that you imagine would cause division between you and him. I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Comforter, that he may be with you forever. Let's imagine I were to drink that white wine, and then I thought, well, you know, this is pretty good. And then I go out to the car, and I've got some in the trunk, and I pull it out, and I drink a little more. And I drink, and I just can't stop this time. I don't know. I'm just riding a high, and I just can't stop. And I get to the point where I'm physically sick. And then I have to run to the restroom, and I'm over the toilet there, and I'm getting sick because of what I've done, right? Just because I'm not used to self-control in this area, and I went crazy, right? Well, now, if you're there with me, let's imagine you went through this with me, okay? What are you thinking? Are you standing over me? Let's say, now, I'm not saying we're enemies. Let's assume we're friends. Are you standing over me saying, while I'm there getting sick, you're saying, I cannot believe you. What were you thinking? And I'm going, oh, I don't know. You know, when you get up from there, I'm going to give you a piece of my... Well, I'll tell you what, right now I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Right? Oh, you say, well, you know, that's not going to help. I mean, I'm not being a good friend there. The guy's sick. He's made a wrong choice. He knows it. What I'm going to do as a good friend is what? I'm going to do whatever I can to comfort him, to help him through this. Is God just so much crueler than you? Is God just so much more unfeeling, unsympathetic, uninvolved, that he would just have a system of judgment? And when you do that, he just says, well, you know the rules. I'm out of here till you get yourself back in shape. You're going to have a timeout because I'm over here with other believers who are acting right on the mission field. Right? So, comforter. Do you believe it? Is God a better comforter than you are? Roles of the Holy Spirit. He's the person of Jesus Christ. He's a gentleman. He's a helper, a teacher, a revealer of truth, a leader inside of us, a testifier to who we are, a comforter inside of us. This is what well-known Christian authors have been trying to say for a century plus. Charles Trumbull wrote a book called Victory in Christ. It's all basically one thought, and that is that Christ is victory. There's no program. There's no five steps, three steps. There's no read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll automatically grow. There's none of that. Christ is victory. Victory in Christ is the name of that book. And the thought is that Christ lives in you 24/7, uninterrupted. Andrew Murray, a book called Abide in Christ. Perhaps you've read that. Andrew Murray is a classic Christian author. That book has existed for decades and decades, and people have bought thousands upon thousands of copies. You know what it basically says? Basically says the Spirit of Christ lives in you. It's your only hope of expressing any of God, and he lives in you every day, all day, without interruption. Will you believe that? That's what the book says. About 180, 200 pages, and that's the goal of the book. Watchman Nee wrote a book called The Normal Christian Life. Talks about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you all the time. The basic goal of that book is to say, it's all up to Jesus Christ living inside of you. Will you trust him? Do you know he's there? He's there all the time. This is what people have been trying to say to all of us forever. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to say to us. Do you really think there's an invisible person inside of you? People died claiming there was an invisible person inside of them. I mean, do you see how weird, how strange this sounds, that you have an invisible person inside of you? I mean, if you literally take the words that are coming out of my mouth seriously, I am telling you, you have an invisible person inside of you all the time. And there were people that were burned at the stake, and people that were crucified, people that were stoned, because they wouldn't reject this idea that an invisible Jesus Christ lived inside of them. Will you believe it? Will you buy into it? Will you believe that Jesus in you is just as real as you are? Well, let's pray together. Father, I can't believe how you have set up eternity for us from this day forward, from the day that we stepped into you, the day that we stepped into Christ forward. We have uninterrupted communion with you. You live in us. You dwell in us. You won't leave us. We make a bad health choice, and you're there. We make a bad morality choice, and you're there. We blow it big time, and you're there. We're proud. We're indignant. We think that we're on the right road in our own resources, and you're still there. You're constantly, gently showing us, I live in you. Father, I just thank you for the uninterrupted presence of Jesus Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. In his name, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.